Amen. Please be seated. Something happened in the last week. I grew old, and I found that my beard is completely gray down here, as you can see. I kind of started as a lark, and the more I saw it, the more I wanted to shave it, and my wife said to keep it. She said this, she says, "You've earned that." She's right. As many, if not all, in this room have earned things like that. Mine just happens to be a gray beard. I remember the passage you do in the Bible as well that says the very heads of our hairs of our head are numbered. I didn't know the days were numbered as well, but they are too. So it's like it's part of this process, right? But I'm just so glad to be home. Some of you know we were stuck in Florida for a couple additional days because of the weather up here. So we made it through. Man. Just want to let you know it was a sacrifice. But I want to let you know this. Our family missed this family. We did. We just missed you guys. We're so glad to be home. We are honored today to have some visitors. It's Pastors Pete and Tammy Logan. They are the pastors from Fountain of Life Ministries in Middletown, Pennsylvania. We've had an ongoing, long relationship with them. If you happen to have met Tammy, you probably know that she is the daughter of Don and Helen Shimori, who are actually down in Florida. Of all places, so they're not here with us today, but they did text us and reminded us they're with us in spirit and rejoicing with this church, because this is their church home, and they'll be back. As soon as it gets above 70 degrees here, they'll be here. So they do love us and send their love. But we are honored, and I'm going to ask Pastor Pete, would you please come up, and Tammy to his right is his wife. If you haven't met them, please take the time. And Pastor Pete, would you come up? Just Pastor Pete and I and Sherry and Tammy, they've really just been mentors to us over the years. So not only friends, but mentors. If you recall, we've had Pastor Daniel Monsami here and is our guest on a number of occasions, a pastor from Richards Bay, South Africa. That is because they are pastor friends with these guys, and just that's how we've made the connection. But it's been so much more than that. They've really allowed us to share in their ministry opportunities around the world. Pastor Pete and I have had the chance to stay. We didn't have to sleep in the same bed, but in the same room in a number of places. And we've just enjoyed the company of each other as we've shared locations around the world. And we've just been blessed. Sherry as well. Either she'll go or I go. We generally don't travel together with them. But we've just, and Sarah has gone on a number of missions trips to Mexico. But I just want to let you know, it's more than just a heart for missions that they have. It's more than just a heart for the Fountain of Life Church in Middletown, where they've actually got a dynamic youth ministry going on. Right down in the middle of town, they've opened up what I would call a coffee shop, but it's much more than that. But that just happened within the last year. But what's happening is the Holy Spirit's been working through that ministry, and now they're seeing 20, 25, 30 teenagers in the last couple of weeks give their hearts to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we believe, and I know they believe, that's just the start, because God wants to change Middletown, just like he wants to change Jersey Shore, just like he wants to change Lock Haven, he wants to change Avis, he wants to change Williamsport, he wants to change Hughesville and Waterville and everywhere else in between, if I left your community out, because God loves mankind so much so that he gave us his son. Amen. So without further discussion, Brother Pete, we're just glad to have you today, and we just pray for a blessing upon you as you give the word today, and thank you for coming.
Thank
Pastor
God,
Pete Logan,
it.
God bless you.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. I always like to look out and take a look at God's people. As Don had mentioned, we've been in many places around the world, and to look out and see the people of God, the most beautiful people in the world. Amen?
Amen?
Tell your neighbor, you're beautiful. I know, you're supposed to say handsome if you're a man, but, it still applies, it really does. Because we are a beautiful people because of Christ Jesus in us. Amen? And like I said, we're blessed to be here. We're honored to have had many years of friendship with Don and Cheryl, and Got to know a number of your elders, actually most of them, all of them, and got to spend some time with them. So we're blessed. We did get to go last year to the reservation out in, was it South Dakota? Is that where we were? And, you know, got to spend some time with some of your people there, too, and got to feel the heart of Life Tree. Amen. Is Life Tree's heart still beating? Huh? Amen. It sure is. Well, as I was sitting there during worship time, the Lord brought back, and He often does this from time to time. Back when I was about 10 years old, I was climbing a tree. I grew up in Massachusetts, if you haven't, you know, picked up on the accent yet. And I was climbing a weeping willow tree. And I was really enjoying myself with all my friends, and I was about 10 years old. But I happened to fall. And when I fell out of that tree, I landed on my back. And everybody came running up and said, "Are you okay? You're okay." And I didn't feel bad, but I found myself unable to talk. I don't know if it ever happened to you. And later on, it was explained to me, I had the wind knocked out of me. You know, it's interesting that your speech takes wind, it takes breath. And when you are hit from the back with such a force, it actually forces that wind out of you, and there's nothing to go over your vocal cords, so there's no voice coming out. It was the weirdest thing. And I didn't know what was going on. But I had the wind knocked out of me. But the Lord uses this remembrance and this memory that I have as a child sometimes to bring about a truth that I believe He wants me to bring about this morning. And that is, I believe that some of you have had the wind knocked out of you. Spiritual wind knocked out of you. I know you've had some, you've heard some teaching out of Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. And when the Lord comes to Ezekiel and says, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel was very smart. He said, "Lord, you know." He wasn't going to answer until he knew how the Lord was answering. And he says, "Lord, you know." And the Lord said, "Speak to these bones. Prophesy to these bones." And that word that's used for speak, and that word that is used there, is the same word that is used, if you're wondering, in the book of Acts, where it says that the wind came. You know, it's used interchangeably for wind. It's used interchangeably for spirit. And when Jesus, in John chapter 20, after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples were all up in a room with the doors all locked. And they were fearful, the Bible says, that what's going to happen to them. Because they just watched as Jesus, who they saw all this power, all this authority, all these miracles happen, they just watched Him be dragged and put on a cross and crucified and thrown in a tomb. I'll tell you, they had the wind knocked out of them. Absolutely, they had the wind. They had the spiritual wind, the momentum that they had. Think of it, for 3 years they ministered with Jesus. They watched the blind see, they saw the dead raised, they saw every kind of miracle you can imagine. They're out, the 5,000 didn't have food, and He said, "Hey, whatever you have, bring it." And the next thing you know, they've got a basket each to take home. They saw all these incredible, they saw the waves even know His name and bow to His authority. So they saw all of this happen. But then they all of a sudden had this screeching halt, so they thought. You see, they thought they came to a screeching halt. And you may think that you've come to a screeching halt. But the Lord wants you to know that He has wind for you still. And here, this is in John chapter 20, when Jesus walked into that upper room, He first presented Himself alive to them. Everybody know that Jesus is alive?
Amen.
Amen. He rose from the dead. It's a reality in our lives. And as He began to speak to them, the Scripture says He breathed on them, the same word for wind and spirit. And He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then He says, "Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven." In other words, they had the wind knocked out of them. They had such a tragic screeching halt to what they felt was a momentum that God had in their lives. Just like I had. I was free falling from that tree until I got that screeching halt, a hit in the ground. Boom. The wind was knocked out of me. I had no voice. I had no ability to speak. I had no testimony. I had the wind knocked out. And these men in the upper room had the wind knocked out of them. But Jesus, it says He breathed on them. And He says, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe this morning the Lord wants you to receive the breath of God. Amen. You know, you can think about what we might need to do here at Life Tree Church to make this church do this and that and that. But I want you to know something. You need the breath of God. You need the wind of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. It's not about what anybody wants for this church. It's about what God's plan is. It's about what God is desiring to do. And those who are willing to take the time and put the effort and set themselves apart to seek God for His purpose for this place, those will be the ones that God can use to carry forth His desires. He has great plans for Life Tree Church. And God is not out of wind. Amen? He's the eternal Spirit, and He desires to breathe upon you once again. He desires His Spirit to now carry you and take you and to bring you on from where you thought you were at a screeching halt. God says, "That's when you're weak, I'm strong. When you understand how much you need me, that's the perfect place to be. Because I'm faithful and I am here for you." And even when they thought all was gone, they saw Him dragged to that cross, dragged into the tomb. It was over in their minds. But yet here He was, standing there in front of them and breathing a fresh breath upon them and empowering them to continue on. It wasn't an ending. It was a propulsion into the true purpose and call that God had on their lives. Amen? So let's stand up right now. And we're going to ask the Lord. Everybody believe that God desires to fill you with His Spirit. I'm not talking about a weird, hokey thing. I'm talking about the reality of God, His breath, His Spirit, to fill you to a place that He empowers you beyond natural capabilities. There's something about, you know, when keep in mind when Nicodemus went to Jesus and he says that you must be the Christ, and he talks to him, and Jesus says, well, you must be born again. And he began to explain to Nicodemus. He says, you know, being born again, it's like the wind. He says, you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. But everybody that's born again, it's like that. You see, it's like the breath of God comes in you. The thing about being born again is that your spirit is now made alive so that God can breathe afresh on you. So that there's a new motivation. There's a fresh look on life that was not there before. There is an unseen a power of God that is motivating your heart. That is the joy of being born again. So right now we're going to ask the Lord for fresh wind. Amen? Fresh wind. It's like putting the sail up and going out. It's a wonderful day to sail. Amen. It's a beautiful day to catch the wind of God. Every day is. But today especially, as we're here, let's catch the wind of what God's doing. Let's not be worried about what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is doing. What's God doing? And let's flow with what God's doing. Amen. If you feel comfortable, just raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your breath, the very breath of heaven, that, Lord, you desire to fill each and every one of us with. Lord, I thank you this morning. I receive a fresh breath right now of the Holy Spirit. I receive your breath upon my life afresh right now. And Lord, I thank you for your breath going forth, Lord, throughout this whole place. Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, can be filled, Lord, with the expectancy of heaven, can be filled with the atmosphere of heaven, can be filled with the very breath and purposes of God. I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask God for a fresh infilling and a fresh breath of your Spirit to propel Life Tree Church on for the future. And we thank you for it, God. We look to you. And we believe with all of our heart that you who called are faithful and you will do it. And we thank you for your plans. We thank you for your purposes, God. We thank you, Lord, that it's not up to us, Lord, to figure things out. But it's up to us to surrender to your plan and your purpose and allow you to build your church that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. You even said to your disciples who you trained up and were involved with you in ministry for all those years, you said that they had to wait until they were clothed with power from on high. They had to wait for the breath of heaven to fill them. They had to wait till there was a motivation beyond themselves that would be able to carry them into the purposes of God. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your breath afresh right now over Life Tree. We thank you, Lord, for these beautiful, wonderful people, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for an awesome Savior, God, that paid the price and made us worthy to stand here today and say, Father, breathe afresh on me. We thank you, Jesus, that you asked the Father to send the Comforter, the one just like you, to us. And he did, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome. You are welcome in each and every heart in this place. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that pays the debt for every sin that was ever committed. The blood that makes every vessel cleansed and worthy to receive the breath of God. The Ruah, the breath of God. Breathe afresh. Take a deep breath in. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Just begin to praise God, that's all. Praise God. Praise God. God is worthy of praise. He is worthy. He is holy. There is none compared to him. You alone, Lord, are worthy of all praise. And we thank you, God. And we worship you. We exalt you above all else, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your desires and the plans that you have for us. That you spoke through Jeremiah. The plans to prosper and give us hope and a future. We thank you, God, that you are for us and not against us. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his fresh wind this morning. Come on, thank him. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord has taught me over the years that I need to step into what God's doing. That I can't just be a spectator. See, oftentimes, you know, we get this thought and this mentality that God loves me and he has so much for me and I'm going to wait and see it. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And that is, I need to live by what is not seen instead of what is seen. And faith gives me the ability to grab a hold of heaven. Faith gives me the ability, as Jesus taught me to pray, on earth as it is in heaven, and begin to see things from God's perspective instead of mine, and begin to lay hold of that which God has laid hold of me for. You know, faith unlocks that. And so if I truly have faith, faith is an action word. Faith is not passive. If I truly have faith, then that means that I step into what I believe to be true. And I don't even have to see it with my natural eyes. I can see it by faith. And I begin to step into the things of God. So I begin to step into the fresh wind, the fresh feeling of God. That you know, I'm no longer stuck in a rut. The wind of God has just carried me into the now, into the future, into the what God is doing right now. Amen? Amen. You can sit down if you'd like. God bless you. And thank you for participating with me. Because I believe God desires participation. He desires us to step into the things of God. I'm really, one of the main thing that I feel that we're here today for is that we're going to be, commissioning Don and Cheryl. And so we're blessed to be able to do that because we saw the hand of God on them from way back. The interesting thing is the way that I ended up being the pastor at Fountain of Life Church. I came out of Bible school and I went in as a missionary to California. We're in and out of Mexico and I lost the wind. I got the wind knocked out of me. So we stepped out of ministry for a while and I went into business and the Lord blessed that. But I ended up at Fountain of Life Church just as a place to worship and a place to be. And we were sitting there one day and we had a prophet come in. And at that time, I guess we agreed to be elders at that time. But we didn't want to be anything. We just wanted to sit and, enjoy God. And you can still enjoy God as an elder. Don't get me wrong. But we were happy just to sit. And so this prophet comes in and I'm sitting up front. And the pastor of the church is sitting beside me. And he comes up shaking his head. And he's pointing to the pastor saying, "You're not the pastor he is. You're not the pastor he is." And here I am just sitting there minding my own business. And I said, "No, this guy is dyslexic something. He's got things mixed up. You know, he's pointing to the wrong place." And sure enough, he said, "When I come back next year, you're not going to be the pastor he is." And the Lord, through a number of different events that went on, that I knew he was calling me and I could not deny it, we ended up stepping in as the pastor, as our Pastor Dave at our place moved on to be an itinerant pastor. And we still work with him today. We work with him in a ministry called Food for Life, which Fountain of Life started. And there's now five feeding program locations in the Philippines, one in Cambodia, one in Mexico, and we're feeding hungry children. And what a blessing it is. Because when you start loving people, you can't stop a church from growing. Everywhere we feed people, people come to the Lord and they gather. But just a little bit of an explanation of, kind of the history of what happened with Don and Cheryl is not that different than what happened with us. You know, we ended up as elders then being called into a place of pastoring. And that has been going on now for 16 years when that happened to us at the Fountain of Life. God is faithful. And I mean it with all my heart. I'm not just trying to have a cliche and have a theme here. But all we've done is just catch the wind of God. You know, whenever I can get maybe discouraged or maybe lose direction and purpose in life. But God always reminds me, that He has a wind for me. That He has a breath for me. That the nature and the character of God, that the most important thing is for me to be filled with His breath. It doesn't matter what anyone else is saying, anyone else is doing. All of that will end up right side up if I continue to go after the breath of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the unction of God within me. And that has always kept us, and God's always been faithful. But this morning, before we get into the commissioning, I just have a little word that I thought that the Lord had given me. And turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. And I believe as I was writing this out and seeking the Lord for what He'd have me speak, I felt the Lord impress upon me that this is a place in Scripture that you're familiar with. That I'm probably not going to go into depth and teach you a lot of background on it. I believe you probably already had it as a congregation. But I believe there's some things that God wants to speak to you about the now of God and what's happening right now where you're at. How many want to know what's happening, what God's doing right now where you're at right now? That's what I want to know. You know, we can read history and see what God was doing back then. And we can believe the prophets of what God's doing in the future. But God wants me to live in the now. God wants me to be able to step into what He's doing. Jesus says, I see what the Father's doing and that's what I do. Let's take a look at what I believe the Father is doing here and now. Okay? So Joshua chapter 1, it starts out very interesting. It says that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and go over this Jordan to that which I am giving you. It was interesting because Moses, I believe, is the greatest leader you're going to find. Certainly in the Old Testament. You know, he believed God. He went before Pharaoh. He, you know, the power of God displayed. He led millions of people. You know, and he had such wisdom and such, you know, he climbed the mountain and met with God face to face. He said he spoke to God as a friend would speak to a friend. I mean, how much more awesome can you get than that? How many agree Moses is awesome, right?
Yes.
But see, God still had to wait until Moses was out of the way before he can take them to the next step. When you have a transition of a leader, I believe the reason God allows it to happen, or whatever, however you want to take, God did it or didn't do it or whatever, the reason it happens is that God has a purpose and God raises up another that has the mindset and has the faith for what the next step and the next level is. And this time of transition for leadership for LifeTree, you know, think of it. This was a whole nation of people that were led by Moses. And now Moses was dead. And to be that people, think of the fear that goes, what are we going to do now? We had this great nation. And God was doing this. And Moses led us. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the kind of confusion, you know, and delusionment and all of that was going on. But the Lord says no. He says, that's not time for that. It's time to cross over this Jordan. Because what was on the other side of the Jordan was everything God promised them. How many know God has promises for you? We all hear that. God has stuff for you. He has promises. He has plans for you. You know, and He desires you to be blessed in greater ways than you could ever imagine. This thing feels funny here. There, we got it. He has desires for you and plans. But the Jordan represents that which keeps you from grabbing a hold of what God has given you. We can read the scripture what God has given you. Galatians says that He's blessed us with every blessing in spiritual places. Every blessing God has to give you, He's already poured out. But it's in spiritual places or heavenly places, one scripture says. And it's a matter of grabbing a hold of those and laying a hold of them. But what kept the people from what God promised them was the Jordan. And so the Lord said to Joshua, rise up, let's cross over this Jordan. And I believe just like where LifeTree is at, it's a transition from one leader to another. And God wants to grab a hold of the momentum, and God wants to use the mindset of the new leadership to take you where He desires you to go. So here we find that the Lord said, let's cross over. One of the interesting things is that if you remember the whole story, here Joshua was raised up as a leader. Joshua said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And he began to give Joshua instruction of how he's going to accomplish this. And some of the things that he began to instruct Joshua to do had to do with positioning the people and getting the people ready to cross over. getting the people ready to step in and ready to be able to possess what God has given them. Because they have adapted to where they were. You see? They've adapted. They have adapted to living in the wilderness. They've adapted to having the manna come every morning. Manna. God would drop manna from heaven so that they had something to eat. And they were adapted to that. And they accepted that. But the scripture says in Joshua chapter 5 verse 12, it says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So they were used to eating manna. They survived on it, and they became adapted to it. But it was not the food that would nourish them to the place that they can be the people that God wanted them to be. It allowed them to survive, but didn't allow them to thrive. And some might say, oh no, the manna ceased. But they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They ate the fruit. It might be different. It might not be what you're used to. You might have to be strong and courageous, as he said several times. Is everybody familiar with this scripture in Joshua? Do I have to go through it piece by piece? No? Everybody good? Okay, you following me? Okay. I felt it was familiar enough to you. You know? But they ate the fruit of the tree, of the land that year. And there they got the promise that God desired. He said, be strong and be courageous. A couple other things that were interesting was that Joshua was instructed to, when he comes to the Jordan, that his feet must go into the water. That he must step in. When they came through the Red Sea, way back when they came out of Egypt, Moses raised his rod, the ground dried, and they walked on dry ground, no problem. But now they were required to step in. They were required to be part of what God's doing. You see, if you want to go deeper in the things of God, God's designed it for you to be part of what he's doing. He didn't design it for to be a spectator thing like you're sitting on the bleachers. He designed it for us to step in. And that's his desire. That's part of our inheritance. We talk about this great inheritance of the kingdom of God. You know, we're co-heirs and with Jesus to this wonderful inheritance. Well, Jesus walked out the will of the Father. Jesus was active. Jesus brought the kingdom. You know, Jesus, you know, and then the promises that came to Joshua, just like it was to Moses, every place you put your foot, I'll give you that ground. If they didn't step out, they didn't get it, the promise. So there's an activation, there's an engagement in the things that God's doing. You know, and Joshua had to instruct. He said, tell the people, go through, and tell them to sanctify themselves. Because tomorrow, we'll do mighty things in their midst. Sanctify. The word sanctify means to be set apart. It means to us today, in our terms, we got to make room for what God's doing. If God decided he wanted to move here and that his presence was going to fill this place, I believe he already decided that, and it's going to burst forth and people are going to come in here and give their hearts to the Lord and there's going to be incredible revival, that takes work. You know, I'm trying to plant a church right now and the biggest obstruction is nobody has time to do it. People are crying out. They want more of God. They're coming. It's been like 2 weeks and 30-some people get saved in this one place. And they want more of God. But yet we're looking around. Everybody says, well, I don't have time for that. We got to sanctify ourselves. We got to set apart. We got to make room for God. And if you want more of God in your life, you got to make room for Him. You know, When you look at sanctification and setting yourself apart for the purposes of God, it simply means you've got to make room for God to move. You want God to move, and God's saying, just give me room. Well, what's that mean? Does that mean we just clear out? No. It means in our own lives, are we willing to put other things aside and come out for a revival service? You know, oftentimes, I know at different places, we'd say, okay, we're going to have a revival service, and three or four people came out. And then you start calling and saying, well, what happened? Well, you know, we had this going on. I had that going on. I had this is in my schedule. That's in my schedule. And I know, we all do it. We're all busy people. You realize that busyness is on the rise? We fill our lives with things because lives are empty without things. But God says that blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they really will be filled. Amen? We've got to make room for God. We've got to make room to let God move in our lives in greater ways. We've got to take time for prayer and seeking God. We've got to take time, you know, to be involved with what God's doing here at Life Tree and watch what He does with it. God will move if we make room for Him. So the Lord told Moses, or told Joshua, He said, you need to be strong and courageous. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. And He said, I want you to prepare these people, tell them to sanctify themselves, and tell them that they need to keep their eyes on the ark. What does the ark represent? The ark was where God rested with the people, where God lived in this box represented the presence of God, and it was a type of what, you know, God wanted to show that His glory, He desired to be amongst His people, and at that time that's how He had to display it. So keeping the eyes on the ark is like today saying, keep your eyes on the presence of God. Be looking for God. Be tender to the things of God. Be looking and expecting God to move. Keep your eyes on what God's doing. You know, years ago, somebody came up I read it in a book, I heard it in a message, was don't look at what God's not doing, look at what God's doing. You know, keep your eyes on what God's doing. Don't worry about what He's not doing. You know what I mean? We all want things. We all got our wish list for God. God, can you do this for me? Do that? Can I get this? Can I get that? And you look at those things. Whoop, God didn't do that yet. But over here, He's doing all this incredible stuff for your life and in your life and around your life. But our eyes are on those things, those wish lists we didn't get. But, you know, as we look to what God's doing, it unlocks us to the now of God and the purposes of God. And we get to be involved in what God's doing. The most fulfilled people on the face of the planet are those that are right smack in the middle and involved in what God's doing. I'm telling you, that's the most happiest, fulfilled people on the face of the planet. It doesn't matter what's in their wallet or what isn't in their wallet. Are they in the plan of God? And are they with God doing what God's doing? That brings comfort, peace, fulfillment like you'd never, never sense before. John chapter 4, remember when Jesus with the woman at the well? Jesus and His disciples are walking along. They come to Samaria, and there was a woman at the well. The disciples go off because they've been walking. They're tired, and they go to get something to eat. Jesus goes to the woman at the well, and He begins to share with her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you'd give me a drink. This is John chapter 4, right? And Jesus and the lady said, well, you don't have anything to give me a drink with. And Abraham gave us this well. Are you greater than Abraham? He says, before Abraham was, I am. And He began to speak into her life. And she realized, you know, that who it was that she was talking to. And she became the first actual missionary that went back to her town. And the whole town came to the Lord. But when the disciples came back, they said, hey, you got to be hungry. And He says, I have food you know not of. And they said, what is He talking about? And He says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. Amen? And to fulfill the purposes of the Father. There's such a satisfaction and such a fulfillment in our lives when we're right smack in the middle of what God's doing. I'm telling you, God's fixing to do something right here at Life Tree. I mean, we had Don and Cheryl down for, as we, in part of the licensing process, and our elders began to pray. And the one elder is like, super sensitive to, just to what God's desiring to do. And he got so excited about what the Lord was showing him in prayer. You know, when you pray for people, a lot of times the Lord shows you things to pray about. He lets you in on what's going on. And he began to get so excited. He said, you do not believe. You couldn't comprehend what God has in store for that church. You're going to see him here. I mean, he's so excited about it. He's going to, you know, if you were closer, he'd probably leave our church and come to yours. You know? But I thought it was safe. You know, it's like 3 hours away. And no, he's a dedicated elder. But I'm telling you, God has great things in plan for you guys. Grab a hold of his breath. Go for it. Amen? You know, there was a lot that God was doing in terms of leaders at that time. But it really had to do with all of the children of Israel as they were crossing over the Jordan. And there's 4 points that I want to make, and then I'll be finished with this. And that's out of, you know, Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. It says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You have to go after it. When you see the Levites and the priests, when you see, you know, those that God raises up to speak on his behalf and to carry the presence of God here, when you see your elders and pastors raising up and saying, this is what God is doing, you need to, whatever place you're in, you need to go after it. You need to go after it. You need to go for it. And that's what the people needed that day. The Lord said, you've got to go for it. You've got to go after it. Don't be tentative. Don't be sitting back waiting what's going to happen. No, just go for it. When you see the priests and the Levites, those that set themselves apart, those that you know it's God, you know they're carrying the presence of God. Don't be reluctant. Go for it. Trust God. It's not about them. It's about what they're carrying. You see, it wasn't about the individual priests. It was about that ark that they were following. It was what they were carrying. We've got to get our eyes off of people and get interested in what they're carrying. What we need is the presence of God. We need the breath of God. We need the Spirit. We need God. And God allows and chooses those who are willing vessels to carry his presence. Just like you, every one of you, should be, can be, and I believe are, carriers of the presence of God. Amen? Amen. And that's what we've got to be. But you've got to go for it. And the second one I want to talk about is Joshua 3:4. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Don't resist new things. He says, you haven't gone this way before. You see, there's a mindset that we can get trapped in that says, okay, I read the book. This is how we do it. This is how it happens. This is how we've been doing it for years. And we get stuck in a liturgical form instead of understanding that God desires it to be led by his breath. He desires life to flow. He desires life in the tree. Amen? Yes. Life tree. There's life in the tree. Amen. It's still flowing with life. And he desires it. And he says, you haven't gone this way before. You know, they passed that way. They've been wandering in the wilderness all that time. Who would have thought? They never even thought to go across the Jordan. It was flood stage. Why would you even take that route? But keep your eyes on the ark. If that's where the ark is going, it's that. If that's where you know those that are carrying the presence of God are leading and directing, then you keep your eyes on that. And you don't worry about, you know, going after something new. Don't resist new things. Because if we know God has more for us than where we're at right now, then what we have right now is we're not satisfied for. So why be afraid of something new? Don't be afraid of new things. Joshua 3:5-6, it says in this, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves.'" I spoke about this. "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." We need to make room for God to move. We need to make room for Him. I remember years ago we were in the Philippines and we were called to minister to a group of pastors that were devout to God. I mean, they put their life on the line. They were in the southern part of the Philippines where it's run by Muslim, and they would go up into the mountains and they would bring food and medicine and they would preach the gospel. And the Muslims would get them every time and beat them near to death and send them away. But they kept coming back. These guys were devout. Amen. They were preachers of the word. And we got there and I was speaking about this and about sanctify yourselves. And I began to speak what it meant to be sanctified unto God, set apart for His purposes and His purpose only, and having nothing else in our lives and no other gods. Over in those areas, there's all kinds of other gods that people might worship. And these were pastors. And I said, God says we need to sanctify ourselves because tomorrow He's going to do incredible things in our midst. And they started coming up, 1, 2, 3, 4, however many at a time. And by the time it was done, we had a pile of different little voodoo stuff and potions and different little things that they would use for protecting themselves or for manipulating things and people, and different potions that they would use. They're called amulets and different things that they would use. And these were pastors that put their life on the line for the Lord. And we ended up with a pile of them in front. We took them out and burned them. And we came in that next day to carry on with our conference. And I stood at the pulpit and I said, you know, the Lord reminded me when I stood at the pulpit. He says, today was yesterday's tomorrow. And when I said that, everybody in the place fell on the ground, including me. I'm looking up and over and there's the interpreters over there, you know. And what is going on? And all kinds of stuff was going on. People were laughing and screaming and jumping and this and that, and you know. But God came into place because they sanctified themselves. I'm telling you, if you'll just set yourself aside for the purposes of God, and if you'll just go for it when you see those that you know that are carrying the presence of God, and you'll go for it, and you're willing to step into this thing, that I'm telling you, God will make a way. Who would have known that the waters would stand still and stop? It says it went all the way back to a town. Anybody remember the name of the town? Adam. Right? So you do know the story. Isn't that incredible? All the way back to Adam, all that kept from the promise was cut off. So that means all the sin that has gone before us and after us was cut off as they stepped in to the purposes of God. And the neat thing is, in John chapter 5, it goes on to say, today I am rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Think of it, the reproach of Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves. They had a mentality as a slave. They didn't believe that they were worthy of anything. They didn't believe that they deserved anything. A slave mentality is that you just deal with what you got, make the best of what you can. Don't hope for anything else, just hold on. And it's a very sub mentality that you don't deserve a thing. It shouldn't get any better than this. In fact, just be thankful and keep your mouth shut. God doesn't say that. God says, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. Amen? He says, ask. He says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name, but ask that your joy might be full. Dare to ask God. And so he said, I'm rolling away the reproach. Rolling away. That word roll away is, and I'm going to do this quickly because I know time is of the essence here. But the word roll away is the same word used in Proverbs 16, where it says, commit your ways to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. That word commit. In other words, go all in. Go for it. He says, today, because of your willingness to step into the future I have for you, your past now falls away. If you want to move on, if you want to get rid of, you know, the reproach of the past, the things that harm and hold you back and hurt you, the best way to do it is to grab a hold of what God's doing now and go with God for your future. Amen? When you do that, all the past gets left behind. It's pretty simple. When you're looking forward, you can't see behind you. Hebrews 11, and when they were talking about the heroes of faith, it says if they were looking to go back, they would have had opportunity to return. However, they were looking for that city not made with hands. They're going after what God had for them. God has awesome stuff for Life Tree. And the time in which it will take to fulfill depends upon how quickly we'll grab a hold of what God's doing now. I mean, God's just waiting. You might look around and say, boy, we got not a whole lot of people to do. It doesn't. He did it with 12. Remember Gideon? He raised up. He went from thousands in his army to whittled down to 300. And he took care of armies that looked like locusts across the whole land. Just with 300. God says that you might be small, but you're mighty. Amen? Because you'll grab a hold of what God's doing. And it really is not about the plan of one man or two men or six men. It's about God's plan. When they stepped into that Jordan, they didn't step into a river. They stepped into the plan of God. That you couldn't have convinced them to step into that overflowing, muddy, mucky, dirty river. They were convinced to just step in because it was God's plan. And this morning I'm asking you, will you step into God's plan? Will you step into God's plan? That's the question. Because if you will, God will make a way. And you will be blown away. You'll stand in awe as you watch what God does. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So Father, bless this word to our hearts and may you use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the word. Come on, let's get excited for God. Because it's not about the person carrying it. It's about what they're carrying. You heard the story at Christmas time about the donkey that Jesus rode in on. Man, that donkey was like, man, he was everything. You know, what made this little donkey that was never ridden on something that's so big and written in the scriptures about? It's because of what he was carrying. Jesus came in lowly riding on that donkey. It's about what you're carrying. It's not about you. It's about what you're carrying. And when we make it about us, we get self-absorbed and so self-thinking that it messes us up. But when we realize it's about what we're carrying, then you'll be really surprised what God does and can do through your life and where He can take you. Amen? So with that, I'd like to have Don and Cheryl and what's that? And Sarah. You want to come on up here? And eventually I'd like to have the elders too, because this is really an elders thing. We talk about pastoral licensing, okay? And yes, Fountain of Life has licensed Don, so this is now Pastor Don, okay? And when we talk about licensing, we look to recognize, again, what God's doing. It's not about our blessing on them. It's about God's blessing on them. It's not about our anointing. It's about God's anointing. And we always want to keep that straight. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the purpose of elders and pastors and the fivefold ministry is to equip all of us for the work of ministry. These are not hired guns for the ministry to happen. These are equippers. And when pastors and elders and teachers and the fivefold understand their place, it's powerful. It's to equip you. It's to make you better than you are. It's not for you to lift them up. It's for them to submit to God's work in their lives to lift you up. You see, that's an attribute that King David had. He searched for people that he could use his anointing to lift them up. Saul looked for people to lift his kingdom up. But David always searched. David, his whole idea was lifting up those and using God's anointing to do that. That's the purpose of your pastors here. And in the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul.'" I want you to know that what we're doing here is not because, you know, that we have a good relationship and let's just make this happen. It's because the Holy Spirit has said. We believe we've heard the voice of God. We believe that they have basically just answered a call that God has had on their life. And so we recognize that. And it's the Holy Spirit that we look for that is calling and that is speaking and directing us for this. And Paul said to Timothy, he says, "Be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry." Amen? Amen. Fulfill your ministry, the call that God has upon your lives. And as I said, when we first met Don and Cheryl, we saw the call. And when we took them to different places in the world, there was many times words spoken over them. I remember Pastor Daniel saying, "Man, there's a strong pastoral anointing on that couple." And I think he did mention that to you guys. And we've seen it over and over again in different places that we have gone. But we're recognizing that. And it's proper to recognize it. It's important to recognize it, because just like the Lord revealed to Joshua, they had to come to a place where he said, "As the Lord was with Moses, so the Lord will be with you." In other words, there's a transfer of that leadership and that willingness to follow. And it's important that we recognize that. So I just have a couple questions I'd like to ask Don and Cheryl and Sarah together. As we commission them in this particular office. And my question is, will you give your life, your time, your dedication to the cause of equipping the body of Christ here at Life Tree? Okay. Will you seek God's word and heart to share with His people? Okay. And will you live your life as an example of the enabling grace of God? And will you seek to be empowered by the Spirit of God as you fulfill your call at Life Tree Church? You will. And could I have the elders come up, please? And the wives, I'm sorry. Wives too. Sometimes I forget that, because at our place, when I say elders, the wives are the first ones up. just the way it works. So come on up. And my question to the elders, do you recognize the call of God on Don and Cheryl and Sarah?
Yes, we do.
You do? Everybody in...
Yes.
Agreement with that? Will you support them and work alongside with them to care for this flock here at Life Tree?
Absolutely.
Are you excited about it?
Yes.
Amen. This is a good thing here, people. It really is. And my question to the congregation, can you all stand, please? My question to the congregation is, will you support and follow this couple alongside with this elder team as your pastors and leaders here at Life Tree? Amen?
Amen.
And my next question is, will you pray for them? The Bible clearly teaches that we are to pray for those that God puts in authority over us because they watch out for our souls. And it's not a matter of if we're seeing something we think should happen. You know, it's not a matter of this. It's a matter of on our knees and praying. And will you pray that these leaders will hear the voice of God for this congregation and they will stay filled with the wind of the Spirit of God? Will you pray that? Will you stand with them? And will you help them? And will you be the people that God has placed here at Life Tree? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's thank God for that. Come on, that's a good thing. I believe it's time to move forward. It's time to go forward. I believe, as it said, as the Lord revealed to Joshua in chapter 5, today I am rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Today is the day to leave behind all of the stuff back there and go for it and get on with what God has. There's souls that need to be saved. There's people that need to be delivered of all kinds of habitual things and all kinds of drug abuse and alcoholism and all kinds of... They need Jesus.
Amen.
And it's time we get on with it. Amen?
Amen?
And you need to be filled with the fullness of what God has for your lives. Amen? There's things we need to get over in our lives. I'm speaking for myself too. We need to get over some stuff. We need to get beyond some stuff. And God says, now's the time to do it. Are you willing to go for it? And you have the people up here that God has raised up to lead this congregation. And I believe they're carrying an anointing of God. And I believe that if you will, as Joshua was told, if you'll see that and go for it, then God will make a way. And everyone gets to enjoy what God has given us. Amen? It's not what man can give you, it's what God can give you. And God can give you a whole lot more than any man could ever possibly give. So today's the day. Roll away, leaving the past, and going after it with God. And if that's you today, what I'd like you to do, I don't know how you do altar calls here. But if you want to step forward, if you want to cross the Jordan, if you want to put your feet into this thing, I want you to come on up front. I just believe God wants us to engage. God wants us to be involved. This isn't just about them. Hey, happy them, wonderful. This is about us. It's all of you. This is your church. You are the congregation. You are the body of Christ. You are the ones that God says, hey, let's do this thing. You want to do it with me? Let's do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to do it. Incredible things that God will do. Incredible things. Neighbors and friends and sicknesses healed. I heard the wonderful testimony of a healing that happened here not too long ago. Those are going to be regular. Thank you, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't call you ahead of time. But that's going to be a regular occurrence here. This place is going to be known. You know, I remember a time at our church where people knew that if there's someone sick, hey, send them over to that church. That's what's going to happen right here. Go for it. Why not? You're the people of God. Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for Don and Cheryl and for Sarah. Come on, Sarah. I thank you, Lord, for placing them here. For calling them. I thank you, Lord, for giving them the heart that would say yes to this call. Lord, I know I walk through the time with them. And Lord, it's not an easy thing to say yes to this call. But God, their faith and their hope and their trust is in you. They're believing you. They're saying, how can we not move forward in the call of God? So Father, I pray, God, as they step in and as they lead this congregation, Father, I pray for your anointing upon them. Even as you said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Father, I thank you for being with them. I thank you for your anointing upon them. I thank you for the word that will come forth, Lord, with clarity and with power and with anointing. I thank you, Father, for an understanding, Lord, and the spiritual gifts, Lord God, that will be released, Lord, even through Cheryl and also Dawn, Father God. Father, we recognize your call upon their lives, Father, upon this couple stepping in. And Lord, we recognize, God, that you who called are faithful and you'll do it. Lord, our faith and our trust isn't just in them as mere individuals and people, but God, our hope and our faith and our trust is in you, Almighty God, who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think. Father, I ask that you'd reveal the plan, that, Lord, you would unleash the plan of God for Life Tree Church, Lord, through this leadership group up here, and Lord, and each one of the elders, Father God. I thank you, Father, for godly men and women that would step up to this place, Lord, and would take their stand, and they would carry the presence, Lord, and they would move forward, Lord, believing and trusting you, Lord, even in the midst of all the stuff that's been going on. Lord, I ask God that this would be a day to move forward, that the reproach is rolled away, that the past is behind, Father God. We're grabbing a hold of the now of God. We're grabbing a hold of the wind of the Spirit, oh God, that the old things aren't able to keep hold any longer because the wind of God is blowing them off of us as we go forth and the anointing and the power of God. Father, use them mightily, Lord. Use them, Lord, as they lay their hands on the sick, may they recover, God. Lord, as they preach the gospel, Lord, may the lost be found. And Lord, may the wayward come, O God. May the poor have the gospel preached to them, Lord. The poor in spirit. Those that are hungry, may they hear. Lord, let there be bread in this house again. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, let those, Lord, who maybe, Lord, have lost their wind, O God, be filled afresh. And release the excitement of God in this place. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for it.